Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, July 5th, 2013. And today we are talking about Egypt, probably the biggest story in the world right now, Egypt and the coup or non-coup, whatever you want to call it, that happened there recently in America's role in it. We dare not call it a coup here in America because to call it a coup would mean that the $1.5 billion a year we give in monetary aid plus military equipment, we just gave them 20 F-16 fighter jets, would all be illegal. It would be a violation of U.S. law, so we cannot call it a coup. We have to call it a popular uprising. That's what the Egyptian officials are calling it. So we watch and we wait and we accept their term, a popular uprising, not a coup, so the money can keep flowing. Some argue that the money should be cut off in compliance with the law. That would be an incentive to the Egyptians to go back to democratic elections, these people say. But here in America, we don't care so much about the law as it applies to government, only as it applies to us. But let's look at Egypt for a minute and see some of the background of this country, a very large, very poor country. About 84 million people, most of them living in the cities because the vast majority of the country is just uninhabitable desert. And a majority of these people living in the cities exist on about $1 a day. The country is running out of money. As I said, a very poor country. It depends on the goodwill of foreigners. It has sold itself to foreigners like the United States to get money to pay supplements to its people and to import wheat, and that is necessary, obviously, to feed them. Now, since 2007, Egypt even has to import fuel, natural gas, and oil. It subscribes on subsidies, and it doles these out to its people. This all has to be done and distributed with foreign money, and it calls into question, in my mind, whether or not an Islamist government, which has ruled Egypt since 2011, the Muslim Brotherhood, as you probably know, whether or not an Islamist government is capable of running a modern country and a modern economy. Most of the public officials here in America that you read about, their statements for the press moaned the loss of democratic rule in Egypt, or what they call the democratic process. But Egypt has existed for some 4,000 years, and it has had a democratically elected government since 2011. If you accept Mohamed Morsi as democratically elected, even though the military ruled through him and put him in power, put him up to win that election. And when the military decided it was time for him to go, well, he went. Still, we say he was democratically elected. So for 2 years, they've had a democratically elected leader out of 4,000. Well, not bad, I guess. Military officials ruled Egypt directly since 1952. These are officers in the military, head of the Egyptian government since 1952, except for Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Egyptian people have no history of democracy and do not respect it. The military suspended the Constitution, which American jurists had a hand in drafting. It, like ours, the Constitution, that is, was a document that tells a bad government what it can't do. But nobody seems to care when the people in the government don't respect it. It is meaningless there, just as it is here. The U.S. now has troops in Egypt, you know. I don't know if you know that or not, but 400 American troops were sent to Egypt when these riots were going on to help quell the riots and help keep Morsi in power. I wonder how the Egyptians felt about that. How did they feel when they saw uniformed American troops walking their streets? I predict that they felt about like how we will feel when we see uniformed Russian troops on our streets. Ironic, isn't it? Our troops garrison the whole world, and Russians provide our security here in America. They watch over us, these Russians. I wonder if they have qualms about shooting Americans if it became necessary for them to do so. I wonder if they would do that. Well, Adli Mansour is the new interim president of Egypt. He was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Constitutional Court, and he was selected by the military to be interim president until parliamentary elections could be held under the military's guidance. He often clashed with Morsi when Morsi was running the country, as the democratically elected leader declared himself not subject to judicial decisions that upset their version of the Supreme Court. He was not subject to their decisions, he said. This was their democratically elected leader. Well, a man named Mohamed El Baradei is expected to be the interim prime minister until the military can hold, quote, free elections. Then it is strongly suspected that El Baradei will become the president of Egypt. He is a very popular figure. He was active in the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak. He was educated in the West, and he's lived in the West for much of his life. Head of the UN Atomic Energy Commission and a Nobel Peace Prize winner. So he and President Obama could sit down and discuss the Nobel Peace Prize. Maybe they could play golf or something together. I don't know if Mr. El Baradei plays golf, but I suspect he might do some things that the president likes. The Arab Spring revolts have been going on now for a few years. They brought many ultra-conservative Islamist groups to power across the Middle East, in Morocco, in Tunisia, in Libya, in Egypt, to some extent in Syria, although Assad still hangs on and the war in Syria still goes on. These people came to power. It was supposed to be democratic, but it wasn't. It went back to its natural state, ultra-conservative Islamist governments. In Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood government under Mr. Morsi was one of the more tolerant, and still it was rejected by the people in their, quote, popular uprising. The rest of these governments must be nervous about that, about their democracy, about whether or not they can stay in power and whether or not the people demand more tolerance. Well, the movement that overthrew Morsi, this movement that spread riots across Egypt, what was described as the largest popular uprising in human history, millions of people out in the street, it was called the Tamarod Movement, T-A-M-A-R-O-D, Tamarod Movement, that ousted Morsi. And some people I have read see it as something similar to America's Tea Party. It definitely rejected the hardline Islamists, and it wants its people to be free, this Tamarod Movement, and to be fed. They need their wheat. Could this happen here? Could it happen here in America, these riots, these popular uprisings, overthrowing governments? Not very likely, folks. Not likely at all. See, we have 237 years of self-rule behind us, and we, the people, respect our Constitution and our system, even if our government doesn't. That's the way I see it, folks. Friday, July 5th, 2013. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.